All right, guys, we've got a great equipping message for you tonight. If you are of the great majority of probably most of our listeners that are listening or watching, you probably are employed somewhere outside of your home. You probably don't work for a Christian company or a Christian employer. So I like to call it, you are probably employed by the Babylonian system. So how do we navigate through this? And what does it look like when we remain faithful to God? And will God promote you and elevate you in the midst of Babylon? That is what we're going to talk about on tonight's broadcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We are shifting gears and taking a little bit of a break today from headlines and information, and we want to bring a great equipping message to build you up this week. I know it's about midweek right now. So I hope that this will be a message that you can take with you the rest of the week, and it'll change your perspective about things. Before we get started tonight, can you do me a favor? Help us spread the word. Hit that like button, and that's going to help us get our program out there on Rumble and YouTube. And if you'd like to follow us on these social media outlets, you got to hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button, and then above all that, download our free app today. Go to our Play Store, Apple, Android, pick it up today. Pick up our app. Again, it's absolutely free for you and your convenience. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. Every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, everything right there at your fingertips. And we would love to have you come join us here at our family. We want to welcome everybody in the chat that's watching on the YouTube channel. That's watching in the chat. We appreciate you guys. You guys, again, are family to us. And I believe you're going to be blessed by this message tonight. So what we're going to do, guys, is as you heard at the introduction of this, I would venture to say that the vast majority of individuals that are watching or listening to this program today, you are employed by a company or an employer that is probably, the chances are they're not serving God. They are not Christian owned and operated. And I call it they are working in this Babylonian system. They're of this Babylonian system. And you're going to see why I call that in just a minute. And one thing that I have always pondered on, and I've studied this over years, and I have walked this out myself. And I felt like the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart the other night. And I felt like I needed to share this is, you know, the Bible says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We are sojourners. We are passing through. We are temporarily here. Paul said, our life is but a vapor. We're here one day and we're gone the next. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. So while we're here, we live under a system wherein which we have to work. We have to make money. And that money enables us to provide shelter and security for our families, put food on the table, pay the bills, pay your electric bill, all your utilities, have a vehicle that you can have transportation to go back and forth from work and all these things. So you have to do this. Jesus talks about this in the Beatitudes. He talks about in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about, you know, that we as believers should not be as the Gentiles and worry about what we shall wear, what we shall eat, our clothing that we put on. He said all of these things the Gentiles seek after. But he says it's for you, and that's us as believers, covenant in a covenant with Jesus Christ as born-again believers. He said, you are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you, for your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. And what that simply puts, and we're not going to get into this whole message of this, But seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first his kingdom in everything that you do, including your finances. And when you make a covenant with him in that area, this is seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're called to be set apart, especially, listen to this, especially when we get dressed in the morning, we take our showers, we eat our breakfast, we get in our vehicles. We, for you guys who leave the house and you travel and you go somewhere to work, you know this, you punch the clock, and then for whatever, how many hours you're working, boy, has things changed. It used to be 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, but that's just simply not the system anymore. People are making their own hours. They're only working part-time. They're working 3 days a week or 4 days a week or, you know, whatever. But whatever that looks like for you, you're still going, you're still putting in your time, and you're getting paid, and then you render to Caesar what is Caesar's. While you're there, you're working under a Babylonian system that's an ungodly system. And you will notice this, and this will be quite evident, when you get into certain atmospheres where the majority of people around you are not serving Yahweh. They're not serving Jesus Christ. Their conversations are not edifying. They're very perverse. They're wicked. They're full of all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of things that goes on in your workplace, in your work arena. A lot of promiscuity, fornication, adultery, sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol. So all these things are around you, and here you are in the midst of the Babylonian system, working for your Pharaoh, working for your Nebuchadnezzar. Now today I'm going to show you, I'm going to go into the Word of God, and guys, I'm not going to pull all these scriptures up again. Trust me, it's in the Bible. I'll give you my references. You can pull out your Bible if you want. You can follow along with me, but I promise you, I'll probably go through it quicker then you'll be able to catch up, because I can't read verbatim, word by word, verse by verse, or we'll never get through this podcast. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you two men of God. Actually, if you want to be technical, it would be five men of God. I'm going to show you five men of God today that worked in a Babylonian system, but they remained faithful to God. Again, honored him by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God, not only did God supply their need, but he elevated them, he prospered them, and he promoted them. All right, so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to talk about Joseph. Now your Bible talks about this man of God. At a very young age, God called him. God let it be known to him through a dream that was given to him that God was going to elevate him and promote him and use him mightily. And Joseph made the mistake of not keeping his mouth shut when he should have. And he, out of excitement, he assumed that he could share this with his own family, his own blood. But he learned real quick that his own blood would turn on him. And we all know the story. He was rejected. He was thrown into a pit by his own brothers. And eventually he was bought and sold into slavery in Egypt. And there he was forced to work for Pharaoh, where he lived. Listen to this. This is profound. Where Joseph would remain there and worked in the world system, this Babylonian system, for 17 years. While he was there, we're going to see how God was with him. Now think about this. Let's stop for a second. Here's a man who did everything right from his childhood. He did everything right, but yet he was thrown into this Babylonian system. He was abandoned, rejected, sold into slavery, and now he's being forced to work for Pharaoh. But I'm going to show you how he began as a servant, and because of the calling of God on his life and the gifts and talents that God had put in him, God used him and exalted him from a prisoner all the way up to the second in command over the treasure houses of Pharaoh. Come on, if you'll stick with me today, this is going to be relevant to you. So we see how Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and there was a man by the name of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was a wealthy landowner and possibly a court official. He was considerably older than his wife, and this is going to come into play. Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, according to the Bible in the book of Genesis. He was the captain of the guard. And this is a man who was oversaw Joseph, overseen him. And all the while, your Bible says that God was with Joseph and that Joseph was a successful man. The Bible says in verse 2 that he was in the house of the master Egyptian. And when Pharaoh looked upon Joseph and saw his faithfulness, come on, he was faithful in captivity under this Babylonian system, Egyptian system. It's all in one and the same, guys. The Bible says his master saw that the Lord was with him. Y'all didn't get that. Pharaoh looked on Joseph's life and saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Listen, I believe as believers that our lives should be so seasoned. We should have so much light emanating from us. Come on, let your light so shine among men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. But think about it. But we go to work and we're moping in. We're struggling to even keep our head up. We don't want to be there. Our attitudes stink. We complain. We murmur. We come in late. We leave early. We call in all the time. We blend in with the Babylonian system. Many of you, instead of being salt and light, you are no different. You talk like the world. You're acting like the world. You partake of the deeds that your coworkers do when they have their corporate and company parties. You're there. You're partaking of the alcohol. You're partaking of the drugs. You're partaking of the parties. You're taking all these things. And because of this, you're no different. And you're preventing, listen to this. Oh, listen, I'm not condemning you today. I'm trying to help you out today. You're preventing the hand of the Lord to prosper you. Now, the Satan will convince you, listen to me, he will convince you, you got to be cutthroat. You've got to cheat your way to the top. Even though your employer, your boss says to ignore the paperwork or don't write this on the official paperwork, leave this off, do this, do things that are unethical. And the boss tells you, if you'll turn a blind eye and if you'll do this and if you'll ignore that, then you'll get the promotion. Come on, ladies. The boss says, if you'll do these certain favors for me, then I'll elevate you. Then I'll promote you. Then you'll get that position. Come on. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that he's going to give you it all. Come on. What did Satan tell Jesus? He said, if you'll bow down to me, and he's talking to the Son of God, bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. And we all know Satan does not give anyone anything without a price to pay in the end. Come on, how many knows that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay? Oh, come on. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Your Bible says of Moses that he chose to suffer with the righteous and the godly rather than be comfortable in the sins of the world. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But if you, I promise you, friend, if you will remain faithful to God, talk different, act different, not partake of this, set yourself apart, they will notice you. Well, yeah, Brother Ricky, but it comes with persecution. Of course it does. Listen, the Bible tells you that. Those who live godly will suffer persecution. But I want to show you today how when God's hands on you, He will promote you. He will elevate you. He will prosper you. And there's nothing that no one can do about it, because what God does, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. Are you hearing me today? Come on, receive this today. Listen to this. So Joseph found favor in the sight of Pharaoh and served him. I said he served him. He didn't quit. He served him. Then Pharaoh made Joseph the overseer of his own house. I'm sorry, not over Pharaoh. I said Pharaoh. Joseph found favor. Let me back up. Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. Now again, who was Potiphar? Potiphar was the officer of Pharaoh. And doing so, Potiphar made him overseer of his own house, and he put everything under his authority. So in time, your Bible says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Wow. Let me say that again. The house of the Egyptian was blessed because of the sake of Joseph. I'm going to tell you a revelation here that you probably never thought about. There is some people that are watching, listening today, and the only reason your company that you work for and the boss you work for, your employer, your franchise, whatever that looks like for you, the only reason why they've not gone bankrupt, they've not gone belly up, they've not shut their doors, is not because of the boss that's in control. It's not because of some fancy marketing. It's because of your presence in that place. Because you're a godly man, you're a godly woman, and because you're praying and you're interceding and you're standing for God and you're standing for the Lord. God has blessed that company for your sake. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus, the Bible says that Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And then it goes on to say that it came to pass after these things. Now here comes Satan, ready? Because again, we cannot expect blessing without adversity. When all hell broke loose on Job and his wife came and started cursing or started telling Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Because Job was losing it all. He was losing his possessions, losing his family, losing his wealth, losing everything. And here comes his wife saying, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? And Job rebuked his own wife and said, woman, he said, should we not expect adversity for all that God has done for us? Even the Apostle Paul said, a great and effectual door has opened unto me, and with it much adversity. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt in Egyptian bondage, and they were given the vision of the promised land, what they did not realize was in order for them to obtain the promise, they were going to have to fight for the promise. They were going to have to face the walled cities. They were going to have to face all the ites. They were going to have to face the giants. But then, come on, there was only a remnant that were willing to fight, come on, for their rights, for the possession of the promise that God gave them. So here is Joseph at a young age. Years go by. He's being promoted. God's favoring him. God's blessing is upon him. Everyone around him notices this. And here comes Satan and conspires a strategy against Joseph. And the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph. Let me just give you that in translation. His wife was lusting after Joseph. And she said, come and lie with me. Come and sleep with me. But the Bible says that Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. And then listen to what he says. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I love that statement. Joseph didn't say, well, you know, wow, you know, you're pretty good looking, and we're the only ones here. There's no cameras. Nobody's ever going to know. And what difference does it make anyway? Because I've already been thrown into the pit. I'm in the lowest chamber anyway. And you know, nobody's ever going to know about this. So I'll take the risk. And, you know, no big deal. And, you know, worst case scenario, he'll find out and I'll lose my position. That's not what Joseph's mentality was. Joseph's mentality says, how can I sin against God? Oh, come on. Where's my men at? Listen, we got to keep this perception. We got to keep this attitude that when we look at the pornography, when we commit adultery on our wife, when we do these things, it's not so, well, I won't do this, I won't do that, so I won't get caught. What if we got the attitude? What if we were so close to God? We had such a burning relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that when the thoughts enter our mind to do things, we got this concept that we will grieve the Holy Ghost. We will quench the Holy Ghost. We will vex the Holy Ghost. And you get this concept and you understand when you study the scriptures that Holy Spirit has emotions and feelings. He can be grieved. He can be vexed. He can be quenched. So when we do these things and we commit these acts, we're hurting the Lord. And if you love God, you're not going to want to do this. And this is what, that's why Joseph said, how can I do this and sin against God? Listen, the problem we have with a lot of leaders, the reason why a lot of leaders are getting exposed and getting caught is because their mentality is that they don't have a repentant attitude. Many of these is because the only reason, come on, they come out and confess to these things is because they got caught, not because they were sorrowful for doing it. Some of y'all get that later. So the Bible says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her. Notice this. Day after day after day. This is what lust does. Listen to me, body of Christ. Read a book of Proverbs. There's a picture of lust. And lust seeks after young men and young women void of understanding. Lust lurks at your door. Lust comes through in the middle of the night. Listen, some of us, we fall into problems late at night when everybody's going to sleep and we're bored and we've got the remote control in our hands or we got a computer in our lap or we've got our phone out. Listen, there ain't nothing that late that you need to be looking at, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because I'm here to tell you that lust is lurking and seeking and searching for you. And your Bible says in the book of Proverbs that it has brought many great men of God to hell. So notice here, this woman is just persistently coming after Joseph, trying to wear down his resistance. But the Bible says, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, nor did he lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time. Now here it is. Satan began to realize that he couldn't get Joseph where he wanted him. So listen to what it says. She caught him by his garment. Now she's saying, lay with me. But the Bible says that Joseph jumped out of his coat, and he fled the house and ran out. And that when she saw that he left his garment in her hand, she ran outside and called to the men of her house and spoke to them. And she lied on Joseph. And she said, this Hebrew was brought in his home to mock me and us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. Yeah, right. The devil is a liar. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice that he cried out, and he left his garment with me in my hand, and he fled outside. So the Bible says she kept his garment with her until the master came home. And then she conjured up a story, didn't she? She said, this Hebrew servant who you brought to us came and mocked us. And she told this whole story on him. And the Bible says in verse 20 that Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Now I read this many years ago, and I'm like, wow, this guy, this poor guy, has done everything right, serving God, standing for righteousness, resisting temptation, and here again, he's falsely accused, and now he's being thrown back into prison again. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's that got to do with it? What has that got to do with me? Here's what it's got to do with you. If you think for a minute that you are going to go work in a secular job. Oh, this is for somebody. And you're going to go out there, husband, wife, and you're with somebody the opposite sex, and you're around them every day, hours and hours at a time. You know what's going to happen? You're going to start communicating. You're going to start developing a relationship. And then, listen to this, the devil will conspire. He will work schemes and plots. So all of a sudden, you go through a hump in your marriage. You're having a bad time in your marriage. You're having some difficulty. You're having some contention. You're having some strife. You're having some arguments. And here comes Satan comes in with these thoughts and is like, well, you know, so-and-so at your job, they don't talk to you like that. They respect you. They listen to you. They don't nag you. They don't point out all your flaws. They don't point out all of your imperfections. Why don't you go to lunch with them? Why don't you talk to them? Why don't you? It's okay. I'm telling you, there'll be this battle. Satan will be saying, it's okay if you go to lunch with them. Just talk to them. It's all right. You, after all, didn't God say that it's not good for man to be alone? So you need to have some companionship. You need to have a little conversation with them and pour out your heart and let them know. And the devil's so sly, because he'll bring somebody in your life that also is having marital problems and also is having the same thoughts. So here's this man, here's this woman, they're going out to lunch, they're getting together, and they both have problems in their marriage. What do you think the recipe of that is going to cause and produce? Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm trying to tell you. So you're going to have to make a decision. Listen, I remember many years ago, I was faced with this several times in secular jobs when I was working in the marketplace, construction supply, restaurant industry. I had many times, many opportunities to be unfaithful to my wife. Oh yeah, the doors were open, opportunities were given. And every time I remembered this story, number one. Number two, I was just like Joseph. Like, you think if you think I am going to destroy my entire family, my ministry. And now this was before I had children, okay? So I didn't have any children at that time. But I was like, you think I'm going to destroy my marriage? You think I'm going to destroy my wife? because it would destroy her emotionally and mentally. You think I'm going to ruin my entire ministry and reputation over this brief window of pleasure? And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If Satan is going to deceive you to make you actually believe that you can run away with somebody outside of your marriage and you can have an affair with them and you're going to live happily ever after, and you actually believe that the person that you're cheating on your wife or husband with is going to be faithful to you when they were willing to cheat with you when knowing that you were already married, then you're a fool. Well, Brother Ricky, the Bible says you're not to call somebody a fool. Come on, read it in context. I need to get your attention today. Somebody needs to hear this. So here is Joseph, a faithful man, a young man, doing everything right, gets lied on by Jezebel, gets thrown into prison. But the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So time is going on. Time marches on. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Y'all see that? Even though he was persecuted, he was lied on, he was sold to slavery, he was rejected, he was abandoned, he was demoted, God was still with him and God was still prospering him, even in the darkest moments. And the Bible says as time went by, it came to pass that I got to get through this, guy, so I'm going to have to paraphrase a lot of this. There was a butler and a baker who of the king of Egypt who offended their Lord and the king of Egypt. So they were thrown into prison. They're down there with Joseph. And both of these men had dreams. And both of them had dreams on the same night. Joseph happened to be there, and remember, God had gifted him with an interpretation of dreams. So the butler and the baker began to tell their dreams to Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dream, and the butler told his dream. Joseph gave the interpretation, said that he was going to be blessed, and he was going to be promoted in the sight of Pharaoh. And listen what Joseph tells tells the butler. He says, remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. So Joseph understood that a gift will make room for him and set him among great men. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Joseph understood this. And then he gives the interpretation to the baker, and it's not a good interpretation. And I read that and was blown away too, because basically he told the baker that your head's going to come off. So the Bible says as time passed, that everything, just like Joseph said, took place. The chief butler was restored to his place, but the baker, was eliminated. I'll just say that. And Joseph gave the interpretation to them. Yet, listen to this. The butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Y'all think I've done lost track of what I'm talking about today. Is there anybody that's listening tonight and you've worked for your employer 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and it's like everybody around you gets a promotion, they get the blessing, they get the bonus, but you're like, God, why do they keep forgetting me? Can I tell you something? If you're remaining faithful to the Lord and you're honoring him, in time, God will remember you. Now, he may remember you by promoting you where you are, or listen to this, he may remember you by shutting that door and opening another door through circumstances. Now, what does that look like? You might get laid off, and the layoff is temporary. The layoff, you feel like the layoff is the end of the road, but it's just the beginning of the road, because you're getting laid off from this job, but God's going to open a door for a different job over here. Come on, somebody. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right here? When I worked for Construction Supply Company, I got laid off in 2008, and that was the catalyst that sent me forward in my ministry. If I'd never got laid off, I would have never launched End Time Headlines, and because I launched End Time Headlines, we are where we're at today. I'm trying to tell you, friends, setbacks are setups. If you're faithful to the Lord, that's the huge if here. So the Bible says that 2 full years went by. Now think about this, 24 months went by. Joseph is still in the prison doing his thing. And he's like, man, imagine he could either get bitter or better, and he chose to become better. He could have been bitter or better. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get bitter towards the butler that forgot him. He didn't get bitter towards Pharaoh's wife. I can prove that, friends, because if he was bitter, God would have never promoted him. He would have never blessed him. And greater than that, he never chose to become bitter towards his own brothers that put him in this place to begin with. Are you hearing me? So the Bible says at the end of 2 full years, the Pharaoh had a dream. I'm not going to give you the whole interpretation of this, but when he had this dream, basically Joseph told Pharaoh, and this is what blows my mind, Joseph told Pharaoh that God has revealed to you what is coming in the future. An ungodly Pharaoh was given a dream by God. Oh, I could preach on that right there. That messes up some people's theology. But it happened. And no one in the land could seek the interpretation or give the interpretation of the dream. So then the light bulb went off on the butler and said, hey, I remember a man that I met in the prison 2 years ago that gave me an interpretation of a dream that I had that was fulfilled. His name is Joseph. So the Pharaoh got Joseph out of the prison, brought him up. Pharaoh he gives the interpretation of the dream. And your Bible says that when Joseph gave the instructions, he told Pharaoh, not only am I going to interpret the dream, but I'm going to instruct you on what you're to do. Put away this much, store this much, put overseers of this and this and that. And it so well pleased Pharaoh that your Bible says that Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Listen to that. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. He was going to be second in command of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And your Bible says he took a signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. The first man I'm speaking of is Joseph, and for 17 years he served in the house of under the house of Pharaoh and Potiphar, and he was lied on. He was falsely accused, but the Bible says he remained in chains and fetters until his word came to pass, and God took him from the pit to the palace and promoted him over the whole land of Egypt. All right, let's move on. Second individual I want to talk about, or individuals. I want to talk about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here is a man, a young man, who was brought into Babylonian captivity at the age of 17, along with three of his Hebrew friends. They were all brought into a captivity under the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel remained there, listen to this, from the age of 17 to 90 years of age and served in a high position in Babylon. But let me show you how he got into that high position in Babylon. You ready? When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was brought in, the first thing that the Babylonian system did was change their identity. This is what, oh, come on. Tell me that ain't what the world system does. When we're in this system, it wants to mark you, it wants to brand you, and it wants to give you a new name, it wants to give you a new character, it wants to completely change you. But during this time, Daniel never compromised and never identified himself with the Babylonian system. They got different names, but he didn't identify with them. Daniel purposed in his heart. You can find this in Daniel chapter 1, guys. He purposed in his heart, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would not defile themselves with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which they drank. See, they were in Babylon, under the Babylonian system, employed by the Babylonian employer, but they set themselves apart. They didn't partake of the king's meat. They didn't partake of his parties. They didn't partake of his scandals. They didn't partake of his lies. And because they honored the Lord, the Bible says that God gave these knowledge and skill and literature and wisdom above all those in Babylon. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And again, just like Joseph, this would later on contribute to using his gift to promote him. And over a process of time, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, plural tense, and his spirit was troubled in him. Here is another wicked leader who God is giving dreams to. And of course, no one could interpret the dreams. So Nebuchadnezzar got so mad and so irritated that he began to slay the wise men. And he sought Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and because they were next on the chopping block and they were going to slay them. So word got back and Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time so that he could seek out the interpretation from the Lord of the dream. And the Bible says that the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. And your Bible says that he comes to Nebuchadnezzar, he gives him the interpretation of the dream, and verse 46 of Daniel chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Verse 48, then, listen to this, the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And you know what Daniel did? The first thing he did when he was promoted, he was given gifts, he was given chief administrator. The Bible says he petitioned to the king and made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Listen, I come by to tell you today, as frustrating as it is at your work, and as tempted as you are to call it quits, throw in the towel, give up your 2 weeks' notice, this, you could be robbing yourself of a promotion and a blessing if you'll just stay put and keep working, come on, for Nebuchadnezzar. Keep working for Potiphar. Keep working for Pharaoh. And just maybe the gifts and callings that God has instilled and put in you, if you'll remain faithful, God will use you in your workplace. I can tell you from assurance, guys, from my own walk with God, when I worked in the marketplace, I worked in a restaurant industry for 7 years. I worked in construction supply, and I saw the hand of God using me in those workplaces. God was giving me dreams. God was giving me visions. God was using me, giving words of knowledge to people. There were circumstances that arose. I was able to pray for people, witness to people, sow seed. Come on, water the seed. God used me to make converts and disciples, and God's hand was upon me. And he kept promoting me, and he kept blessing me, and he would open this door, and he would shut this door, and he would open that door, and he would shut this door. But God remained with me. So I'm telling you, I'm not telling you anything today that I've not walked out myself. Now, have I always been flawless and perfect and never failed? Absolutely not. No, there was times I grumbled. There was times I complained. There was times I murmured. There was times that I got into it with my employers because I thought something was not ethical or wasn't right. And the Holy Spirit would deal with me and says, son, I will deal with them. Just do what you're told to do. And I can go to the book of Colossians and I can show you to not serve your employer with eye service, but work unto them as you would work unto the Lord. And the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. So then time passed. Now, Lord, watch this. These men were promoted by Nebuchadnezzar, and this same employer one day decided to create an image of gold and command the people of the entire province to worship this image. But guess who refused to worship the image. Your Bible says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, nuh-uh, we ain't worshiping your image. And we know the story, how it goes, because they chose to not worship the image. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was turned up 7 times hotter. It killed the men that put them in the furnace. But your Bible says that when they came out of the furnace, their Bible says their bodies were not burned by the fire. The hair of their head was not singed. Their garments were not affected. And they didn't even smell like fire. Hallelujah. And because of this, Nebuchadnezzar was so moved by what he saw. He saw a fourth man in a fiery furnace that looked like the Son of God. And therefore, when they came out unharmed, he says that I will make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their homes shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And he promoted, your Bible says, he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, notice what Nebuchadnezzar's statement was. He acknowledged the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through that circumstance. Then as time progressed, a new leader came in. Eventually, a new king of Babylon arose named Belshazzar. He was the last ruler of Babylon before its conquest by the Persian Empire under Cyrus the Great in 539 BC. Historically, Belshazzar was the son of Nabonidus, the last official king of Babylon, and he served as co-regent during the father's prolonged absence from the city. Your Bible says it pleased Darius. Now, okay, or I'm skipping way over here. So we know Belshazzar was stripped of his entire authority. He was celebrating and the house of Babylon, they were throwing a party, and then the handwriting on the wall came, and I don't have time to elaborate all that, but his whole empire fell in one night. And here comes the Medes and Persian. Here comes Darius. Now Darius is set over the entire kingdom with 120 satraps to be over the entire kingdom. And over these, 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one of, and the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Now I can show you, I'm going to show you in the Bible that King Darius loved Daniel. And the Bible says that Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because he had an excellent spirit about him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the entire realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. That brings me to my next point. Again, you need to know that when you're working for a Babylonian system and you are working and operating in a spirit of excellence, you are faithful, you are truthful, you don't lie, you don't steal, you are the first one there, the last one to leave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have a good character about you, you bring the blessing, you carry in the presence of the Lord in there. There is going to be people around you that are full of darkness, and because the Bible says that the darkness hates the light, because the light exposes the darkness of men's deeds, and therefore they don't want to come to the light. So either 2 things happen. They eventually will succumb to the light, be convicted of their sins, repent, and give their heart to Jesus. Or, watch this, they will revolt against the light, and they will do everything they can to extinguish the light. And in this case, that's exactly what was happening, because Daniel had an excellent spirit about him, because Daniel had the blessing of God upon him. Daniel had the favor of God with him. He had the gifts of God with him. He had favor with the king. The king loved him. And these people were so envious and so jealous, and they hated Daniel. So you know what they did? They conspired a plot to take Daniel down. This was absolutely demonic. So I come by to tell you today that when you're faithful to God in your place of employment, God sees you but it also gets the attention of Satan. So don't be surprised. Listen to me. If just like, again, think about everything we talked about today. There will come false accusations. There will come lies. There will come slander. Satan will try to raise up someone to try to get you to become unfaithful to your spouse. He'll bring a Jezebel. He'll bring a Delilah. And if he can't get you here, again, these things will happen. But I come by to tell you today, and I'm going to show you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shall condemn. Come on, y'all receive that today. So let's see what happens here. These men sought a charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But listen what it says. I love what this says. But they could find no charge or fault in Daniel because he was faithful. They even admitted he was faithful. They're like, guys, we can't get this guy because he is faithful. He is loyal. What are we going to do? Here's what they said. Then these men said, quote, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Are you hearing me? We're going to go after the God he serves. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said this to him, King Darius, live forever. Oh, here they come kissing up to King Darius because they have a plot here. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors, had they all consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree. Now here is the legislation, if you would, being wrote up behind closed doors so that they could give this to Darius so that he could sign this into law. Ready? Here it is. Whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. In other words, watch this. Oh, y'all going to get this. This is already happening, guys. This is happening in China. Let me show you an example. In Chinese communism, the communist nation of China has already made these decrees that the Christians there must not exalt the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus Christ, above President Xi. You're going to worship Xi. You're going to honor Xi. You're going to celebrate him, exalt him. You're not going to exalt this God. You're not going to worship this God, and your God is a threat to our kingdom, and because it's a threat to our kingdom, we're going to make a decree in the land, watch this, that is going to bring persecution against you. And it's so bad in China that they're even rewriting the Bible to indoctrinate and incorporate communism in the Bible. They're completely rewriting the Bible. And this is why China is one of the greatest underground churches in the entire world, because of this persecution. So this right here is nothing new. There's no new thing under the sun. We're seeing this right now in China as one great example of this. So watch what it says here. Again, these men said, we're going to make this decree. We're going to make this legislation that if we find anybody that is worshiping any other god except for you. They're putting this guy up. If I was King Darius, I'd be like, guys, I'm not a god. I don't want anybody worshiping me. So now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. This is what's profound. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So obviously, guys, just like in our own constitution, our own court system that we have, even the president's hands are tied. There's only so much he can do because you have a House, you have a Senate, you have a Congress. And this is what this is exactly what's going on here. Now he signed this in decree. When Daniel got word of this, I love this. He went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down and on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was custom in his early days or from his youth. This is what he did. So he did not back down. So this would be equated to like you on your lunch break, which is your time because you've clocked out on your lunch break, and you are in the parking lot and you're praying. You're at your lunch break and you're reading your Bible. And the place of employment comes and says, you can't read that Bible here. Stop praying. Stop doing this. If I see you reading your Bible, if I see you praying it on the facility, on the property, you will be terminated immediately. So Daniel said, okay. And he said, not only did he pray once, not twice, but three times with the window open. So these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Think about this, church. Here is Daniel praying, and these men, like blood-sucking leeches, being inspired by Satan, come and apprehend him. They take him before the king, and they said, have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, this Daniel fellow, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, and the decree that you signed into petition. And the king, when he heard this, was greatly displeased with himself. Why? Because he loved Daniel, and he knew at that moment that he got tricked, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And the Bible says these men approached him and reminded him of the law. So the king had no choice but to put him in the den of lions, excuse me, I keep getting tongue-tied. Listen what the king says. And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke and said, Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Stop, time out. Friends, I believe that we can have so much of God in us and be so much of a witness in our workplace and work environment that all of our work environment, including your boss, your employer, is watching every move you make to see how you respond. Because you've been talking about this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've been talking about this Jesus. You've been going around saying, my God can heal. My God can deliver. My God can save. My God can set free. My God can prosper. Nothing is impossible with my God. So everybody's all eyes on you. Everybody's watching you. I remember years ago, and I'm not going to rehash all this because it would take too much time, but I had a car of mine get stolen out of my driveway, and the first thing I did was prayed, and I'd let the devil know, you're going to bring my car back, and if you don't bring it back, I expect seven times more, because the Bible says if a thief be found, he must repay seven times. So I prayed this, declared this, and then I did in the natural what I should, and I called the police. And my car was gone for 24 hours, 48 hours. That Sunday, I went to church, and there was one man of God that I knew, he would pray and believe for anything you come to him, and he was not going to shame you, doubt you, or have unbelief. And I said, Bill, I want you to agree with me in prayer, Matthew 18, 19, that they're going to find my car, it's going to be unscathed, untouched, and it'll be returned in the state in which it was taken. And I need it now because I got to go back to work this week and I don't have a vehicle. And he said, give me your hand. He grabbed my hand. He decreed. He said, Lord, I declare that this car will be found in the next 24 hours. Long story short, within the next 24 hours, the next day, the phone rang. And it was on the third day that my car was stolen. It was the police in Louisville, Kentucky. And they called and said, your car is, are you so-and-so? Yes, yes. Your car has been found in an impound lot. Or your car was discovered. We got it in an impound lot here in Louisville, Kentucky. You need to come and pick it up. So I went there. I got there. And before that, I want to pause it. Ready? Before I went to pick up the car, in this process of 3 days, I was working in an Arby's. You guys remember me talking about this. I worked there for 7 years. And while I was working there at that Arby's, my wife had to drop me off because I don't have a vehicle because it got stolen. And everybody, all the people I worked with and my boss, they saw me get dropped off. They said, "Where's your car?" I told them the whole story. My car got stolen, but that car is coming back in Jesus' name, because the devil ain't going to get away with this. And they laughed at me. They mocked me. And they said, "Your car will never come back. It'll never be found. It'll be taken to a strip yard. They'll strip it down. They'll bring it to an impound. You can forget about it. You'll never." I said, "Shut up." I said, "I'm telling you, my car's coming back. And if it happens to not come back, then you mark my words, God will provide 7 times better than the thing that was stolen that the devil just had to have." And again, all laughed, all mocked. So fast forward that Sunday, I went to get my car out of the impound lot when I found the car, I got the car. There wasn't a scratch on my car. Are you hearing me? I got my car back. No scratches, no dents, no scrapes, no blemishes, nothing. And the next day, I pulled in to Arby's the next day for work in my car that got stolen, walked in, and I pointed at my car, and I said, and I looked at everybody in that room and said, "There's the car that the devil stole, but in Jesus' name, it's back." And they all looked at me wide-eyed and could not believe what they were seeing. I'm telling you, friends, that God will exalt you. He will elevate you. He will promote you and prosper you when you serve Him and you're faithful to Him and you remain loyal to Him. I know they'll conspire against you. They'll lie on you. They'll mock you, persecute you, ridicule you. Other people may get the promotion. The door looks like it's shut, looks like it's sealed, and it looks like you're praying to a brass heavens. But I come by to tell you today that in time, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I can't leave us here because I got to tell you what happened. So the Bible says that King Darius had to obey the law of the land, and he gave him the command to put Daniel in the lion's den. And the Bible says that when the king went to his palace that night, he spent all night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him because he had no sleep, because he was weeping, because he loved Daniel. And the Bible says he arose early that morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And the Bible says when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel and said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" And the king heard a voice rise up out of the den of lions and said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. And listen what he says, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." And the Bible says the king was exceedingly glad for Daniel and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And Daniel was taken up out of the den, and there was no injury whatsoever found on him because he believed his God. And the king gave the command that they would bring those men out who accused Daniel and cast them into the very den of lions that they conspired. And the Bible says it didn't go well for them because they were devoured by the very lions that they perpetrated against Daniel. And I'm going to read on down here. And so because of this, the Bible says that Darius blessed Daniel, and Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here is where I want to leave you with today. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know where you're at. Some of you is working for the house of Pharaoh. Some of you, you feel like you're under Potiphar. Some of you, you feel like you're under Nebuchadnezzar, or you're under King Darius. You're employed by a Babylonian system. But I promise you, based not on my own opinion, but on the very word of God, that if you obey God, you will be obedient to God. You will be an example. You will lead the light. You'll be the salt, and you'll set yourself apart. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies or with his wine or with the things in which could defile him. If you do these things, my friend, I'm telling you, based on the word of God, either. Listen to me. God is going to bless, prosper, and promote you where you are, or he is going to, through circumstantial things, is going to open a new door for you and bless you and send you on your way. And where you go next is going to be the promotion, is going to be the blessing that God has intended for you to have in Jesus' name. Come on, you receive this today? Listen, I want to give the Lord, come on, a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, because you are faithful. You are true. You are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. But the Bible says that the promises of God in him are yes and amen into those that believe. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Now listen, we prayed for this. We pray for this a lot on our Monday nights. Monday night prayer sessions. I want to remind you of that, guys. Monday nights, every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we pray. We pray for you guys. We will pray for everybody on these. We pray for the God to bless you and prosper you and exalt you. So listen, add this to your prayer list. Pray. This is going to build up somebody's faith. This message is going to build up your faith. And now you're going to begin to have a strategy. You're going to see things. I believe some people, their eyes are going to open. The eyes of their understanding are going to be enlightened. They're going to open now, and they're going to see, you're going to see your workplace not as a slave camp, but as a missionary field, as an opportunity that God can springboard you and prosper you and bless you. So again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, every Monday night, right here on YouTube exclusively. So if you're listening by Rumble or Apple or Spotify, or wherever you're listening to our podcast or watching, you got to come over here and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can be a part of these broadcasts. And again, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to pick it up today. Again, it's free. Apple, Android, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go and squared away. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. We ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner. Whatever your relationship is with this ministry, just be obedient to that. And when you do, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So we love you guys. We appreciate you so much. And thank you for stopping in on this Wednesday night to be a part of this segment. Again, many of you guys know I'm fighting off a head cold again. It's been a rough year, man, for head colds and upper respiratory things. But this too shall pass. And I feel pretty good right now, but it's usually in the evenings and early in the mornings. Y'all know how that goes. So when we have those reprieves, I come on here and I try to record these sessions so that we can continue to do the work of the ministry. So I appreciate your prayers and support. And listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on, if my voice will permit and everything is good, we plan on being back here tomorrow night, Thursday, September 26th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great segment. Till then, we pray that the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.